So thank you for the introduction and welcome to my talk. Special relativity becomes important when you have velocities close to the speed of light. So before I start, I will show you a specific situation and we will have a look at what happens if we have this high velocity. So we are here on the marketplace in Stuttgart, Germany. We are here at rest. And now let's increase the velocity and the position of the observer will however be always the same. And the vertical field of view is always 30 degrees. If we increase the speed to 90% the speed of light, we see a lot more, although the field of view is still 30 degrees. And if we have 90% the speed of light, we already see objects like this tree, which is located behind us, in front of us. And if we have 99.9% the speed of light, we nearly see the whole marketplace. So how could we produce such a first-person visualization in special relativity? So far, there are three conceptually different methods. Polygon rendering is based on the apparent shapes of objects. It is very fast, but has visual artifacts. 4D ray tracing extends the 3D ray tracing. It respects the finite speed of light. It has optimal visual quality, but it is very slow. An alternative is the image-based approach, but it is restricted to fast-moving observers and static environments. Unfortunately, none of these methods can fulfill all the requirements we have here. So we would like to have an interactive method which has high quality and could handle multiple objects with different directions of motions. So our idea was to combine polygon rendering and 4D ray tracing, and we use also an idea of local GPU ray tracing, the proxy geometry, and combine it to our local ray tracing method. But before I go into the details of the algorithm, let me say a few words about special relativity. So special relativity gives a relation between two local reference frames with a relative velocity v. Furthermore, we have an additional constraint that nothing can be faster than the speed of light. Relativistic effects like aberration of light or Doppler shift, however, are only perceivable if this relative velocity is close to the speed of light. Fortunately or unfortunately, like you wish, the speed of light is very huge. So classical aberration is something you already know from daily life. For example, if you look outside a moving train, then the velocity of the rain and the velocity of the train adds up vectorially. For light, however, it's a little bit different because nothing can be faster than the speed of light. We cannot just add velocities, but we have to use this relativistic aberration formula. The result is that when, for example, you sit here, and you move to the right, then and you have here the light rays coming from all directions, then these light rays apparently tilt in the direction of motions. Hence, if for example you have an object here, this object would shrink, and if you have an object in the opposite direction of the direction of motion, you would have a strong magnification. Furthermore, if you have an object which is located directly behind you, would appear here in front of you. So with this in mind, you can easily understand the image sequence of the beginning. So on the marketplace, if you are at rest, nothing special is here. But if you have 99% the speed of light, as I already pointed out, the tree which is located behind you appears in front of you. So because you need information from all directions, you have to render a cube map here at the current position of the observer. And here in this image-based method, the only thing you have to do is to use the aberration formula within the fragment shader, and this can be implemented quite easily. Another effect is the Doppler shift. That is, the acoustic Doppler shift is also something you already know from daily life. For example, if a fire truck approaches you, then the wavelength of the siren is compressed and the siren appears or sounds higher. We have, it's similar with light. So if you approach a red traffic light, then the wavelength is also compressed. So from red, maybe to yellow or to green. But that is quite cool. So you need only 70% the speed of light, and you can forget about red traffic lights. If you want to test it, come to Germany. Some parts of our express highways have no speed limits. Okay, the emitted wavelength and the observed wavelength are related by this Doppler shift. The Doppler shift in this example is given by this very simple expression, where this beta is just the velocity scaled by the speed of light. But let me come to our rendering method. As I already pointed out, we combine the polygon rendering method with the 4D ray tracing method, and we use here the idea of the proxy geometry for our local ray tracing. So the first step we have to do is the polygon rendering step, and this works as follows. So our basic situation is as follows. We have an observer and a light source at rest with respect to this local reference frame S. And we have also an object, also at rest, but with respect to this local reference frame S prime. S prime, on the other side, moves with constant velocity in an arbitrary direction here indicated by this beta. So polygon rendering means now that we transform each polygon from its proper reference frame S prime into the proper reference frame of the observer. In detail, we have to do the following. For each polygon vertex P prime, we have to find the apparent vertex P. In general, these points are not the same because of the finite speed of light. So first, what we have to do is to transform the observer position from S into the moving frame S prime. So here, S prime is represented by this space-time diagram, where the spatial directions are located here, and the time direction is located here. A point at rest is represented here in the space-time diagram as a vertical line. So the apparent point P is now defined at this point where light has to be emitted, which reaches the observer at observation time. So if we have this point, we only have to transform it back to P, and we have this apparent position. Let me show you an example. So for example, we have a wired cube in S prime, and S prime is S rest. And the observer sits here and looks at the wire, a cube. Then he would see something like this, undistorted. However, if S prime moves with 90% the speed of light, we have to find the apparent vertices of the wired cube, and these would be the correct apparent positions. So the problem is we only transform the vertices, but not the connecting lines. So the connecting lines here in the polygon rendering method is wrong, because the correct view of the wired cube would look like this. So now we come to the next step. For our triangle mesh, we have here a triangle S prime. So the first step, what we have to do is this polygon rendering step to obtain the triangle in S, and then we map this triangle in the image plane. This is, however, only a first guess of the triangle, because the triangle, as you already seen here in the previous slide, is slightly distorted. This is only a first approximation. I will show you the correct proxy geometry in the next slide. So if we have this proxy geometry, the only thing we have to do then is for each fragment of the proxy geometry, we do 4D ray tracing. So how do we get the correct proxy geometry? So let's start again with a triangle in S prime, where it's flat. And since we know that an edge in S prime gives a hyperbola in S, we construct these additional points Q, which means that we are interested in tangents here in P. Then we transform not only the vertices P, but also these tangents into the image space of the observer. That would give us here the point and these tangents. And what we know is that the hyperbola, this connecting line, lies in this convex hull. And if we do this for each edge, we obtain here this tightest fitting proxy geometry. However, for simplicity, we only use here this window-aligned rectangle. Now, if we have this proxy geometry, we generate for each fragment a viewing ray This viewing ray is transformed into the moving frame S prime. Here we can easily find the intersection between this viewing ray and the triangle, because the triangle here in S prime is flat. So what we obtain here is the intersection, and what we additionally obtain are the incident and outgoing light rays. Both, or the light rays as well as the intersection point, are transformed back to S. And here the intersection point defines the geometry of the triangle, and the incident and outgoing light rays, together with the velocity vector beta, define us the Doppler factor. To effectively use the Doppler factor, however, we need a spectrum for our light source. And the most appropriate or the most natural one is that of a black body. And this black body spectrum is called Planck spectrum, with a spectral radiance given here by this formula. The interesting feature of the Planck spectrum is, when it is Doppler shifted, it is again a Planck spectrum, but of different temperature. So for example, you have a light source of about 16,000 Kelvin, and you approach it with 20% the speed of light, the light source would appear to have about 70,400 Kelvin. Or if you recede from it, then it appears to have only 4,900 Kelvin. So with the spectrum, we illuminate our triangles. Here, I don't go into details how it really works, this material. What we need is here, or what we use, is an artificial material reflectance factor F. And the result of this all is a color gamma, which depends on the apparent temperature and this artificial reflectance factor. And because we have here a high dynamic range of this Planck spectrum, we scale each color here by the luminance Y for each temperature. So all in all, our algorithm works as follows. For each triangle, we store one vertex per triangle in the vertex buffer objects. The other vertex are stored on the normal text coordinates and so on, are stored in vertex attributes. The proxy geometry is determined in the geometry shader, and in the fragment shader, we do the 4D ray tracing and determination of the Doppler shift. So let me show some resulting image. The situation is as follows. Our observer here at rest is located here, and our TIE fighter moves with 90% the speed of light here to the right, and moves just below the observer. So here this circle only represents the cockpit of the TIE fighter. And in this instant of time, we make an image, and if we only consider the geometry, the TIE fighter would look like this. So the solar panels are strongly distorted, but the cockpit is only slightly rotated. If you also consider the Doppler shift, we see the following. These parts, which approaches the observer, are also Doppler shifted, and these parts of the solar panels, which already recede from us, are redshifted. But here, if you, the solar panel, if I would show it here in this image, would look like this. So these parts here are already behind the observer, and that's the reason why they are Doppler shifted. We also see the complete model because of this strong aberration. If we compare it to polygon rendering, we see that the geometry is not visualized correctly here. That is because the solar panels are modeled with only rather large triangles, and we have the same problem with the wired cube. With the cockpit, however, there is nearly no difference, because the cockpit is modeled with a lot of small triangles. If we compare our method with image space, we see that here with this TIE Defender model, which moves with 99% the speed of light, we have the following problem. Because the TIE Defender is already behind us, we have the problem of the strong magnification here. And with a cube map, we have only a limited resolution, so we have here only a poor visual quality. With polygon rendering, we have the problem that the geometry is not correctly visualized, and only our local ray tracing method is capable of both high quality and correct geometry. Another example is we have here objects which moves in different directions. For example, this cuboid here moves to the right and the frame moves upwards. And the interesting thing is here, classical, this cuboid would never fit into the frame. But in special relativity, we have this this famous lock and key paradox. Because of length contraction, this cuboid will fit here into the frame. So we'll show you a simple movie of both. So here we have the polygon rendered model of the TIE fighter, and you see here a lot of visual artifacts. With local ray tracing, we have the correct image, correct geometry, and no visual artifacts. And in this example of the cuboid, it fits very well. Let me come to the performance here. As clearly be visible, we polygon rendering is unbeatable. The frame rate is very high. But as I said, we have also visual artifacts. So for meshes with only a few triangles, our local ray tracing methods also supersedes this image-based method. And even if we have meshes with mid-sized or objects with mid-sized meshes, our rendering is well in the interactive regime. So let me conclude. With local ray tracing, we have an interactive special relativistic visualization method of 3D polygon meshes. We obtain a per pixel accurate images, and we can handle multiple objects with different direction and speeds. Future work might be we could look for what happens if we have moving light sources, or what happens if you have rapid rotations or so. Okay, thank you for your attention.
Are there any questions? Could you go up to the microphone? Yeah.
Well, the results look quite good. I mean, it actually you can see more, as I understood. But are there any, how to say, have you tried to apply that to some real problems and applications?
What do you mean by real problems?
I didn't quite get. Is there is it just using this relativity theory to acquire a new visualization technique, right?
Here we use relativity for visualization, but special relativity is also used in not in daily life, but it's. Important if you have, for example, atomic particles and they are accelerated to very high velocities, close to the speed of light, and then you have to consider the special relativity.
So this visualization will be used in some applications which imply the relativity speeds and so on, right?
This visualization is only for educational purposes.
Uh-huh. Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is there any questions? May I ask one question? Yeah. Actually, it's very important to seek the compromise between the polygon-based representation and the local ray tracing technique. And I think that it's another idea to introduce the to sophisticate the sampling of the polygon models. For example, we can introduce the level of detail technique according to the view distance or something like that.
Sorry, could you repeat?
I mean that if you densely sample the model, so you cannot have the distortion like that because around the cockpit part, because you model the shape with this large number of small triangles, so you cannot find the distortion like linear polygon.
If you have a lot of small triangles, then there is no.
So I think difference. That the distribution of triangles can be controlled according to the distance from the viewer. It's my understanding. So,
yes, is it possible? You could also refine the meshes, yes. But that it's difficult to find, which triangles you have to refine also. Mm-hmm. But in principle, yes, of course, mm-hmm. but also possible.
Okay, I see. Any other question? Okay, let's thank the speaker.